Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're gonna start a new life under the sea.
So, am I gonna drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to Hour 2 of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Happy New Year to you. This is our first broadcast of 2012. A lot of new things on the agenda for us this year. One being our brand new radio show, Just Plane Radio, about airplanes and the aviation lifestyle. It's a theme, obviously. We got a World of Boating, which is for boaters. We got Scuba Radio, which is for divers. And now we're going to have Just Plane Radio, which is for private pilots and those interested in aviation. I got an email here from one of those folks in the know. He says, Greg, a longtime listener of Scuba Radio, I want to congratulate you on the takeoff of Just Plane Radio.
The takeoff.
Yeah, get it? I look forward to your coverage of yet another one of my personal interests and hobbies. While I've only been a certified diver since 93 and a dive master since 05, I've been a certified private pilot since 1988. And as a matter of fact, I just got back from the airport about an hour ago and have a current, let's see. And he just got night current, like a certification for night flying on a Piper Archer 3. And he says, again, good luck. Look forward to seeing you and your flight attendants, in parentheses, mermaids, at the Oshkosh air show this year.
Bagosh.
So it's flight attendants. Evidently, we have to adjust for the airplane show. Throwing mermaids up in a plane in Bimini evidently wasn't good enough.
Greg, how will they push the cart?
How will they push
Actually,
the cart?
Actually, they won't push the cart. The cart will be set at the end of the hole, at the end of the aisleway.
Right.
And Greg will just fly erratically to move it down.
Yeah,
please keep your hands inside of the seat, because the drink cart will come crashing past you in a moment.
Yeah. Well, the point is, there's a lot of crossover between divers, boaters, and private pilots.
Again, I will say to you, Pasha, I challenge you to find a single guest that we regularly have on this scuba show that knows one damn thing about flying an airplane. I challenge you to find one.
Just one?
One, but you cannot find one person that we talk to regularly on this show that knows one single thing about airplanes.
You're probably right. You know, I'm just spitballing here, but let's.
I challenge you.
But
I will strip naked if you can find one.
No.
Oh, wait a minute. All right, now we're in trouble. Clay from Explorer Ventures is on the line. Clay, do you have any experience with aviation?
Well, I got a little bit. Yeah, I think so.
A little bit. Uh-oh.
Hold on. Before I strip naked. When you say you've got some experience with aviation, I mean, you live in Colorado, you run a worldwide...
He lives in Wyoming.
Wyoming, Colorado, they're
same
all the
thing.
Same.
Yeah.
They got mountains in them.
you
run a worldwide liveaboard diving operation there with Explorer Ventures. Find out more information at explorerventures.com. So clearly you've had to get into a plane to fly to these places all over the world. That is not like aviation experience.
Well, okay, so that doesn't count then?
That does not count.
Okay, well, I have been a pilot since about 1986.
Oh, no, there goes the... Oh, my God!
Hold on to your nightmare, Bill.
Is this really how we're going to start the new year?
Oh, Greg.
Oh!
It's stuck to the wall.
He just threw his shirt at me. That's not right.
He missed you.
Oh, my God. You just got armpit stain all over my forehead. That's disgusting.
Yeah, I just thank God every week this is a radio show.
Yeah, Yeah, they're thinking about putting in webcams into our new studio here.
This will make them think twice.
Exactly. Oh,
it's
my
bad
God.
Enough that it's all glass.
Smells like a wombat got loose in the studio.
Oh, man. This is very uncomfortable, Clay. So,
well, you'd have to be a little quicker with the bleep button if you were to do it any other way, I suppose. So.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? All right. Well, my eyes are watering, but let's
with
talk
joy,
about
with joy.
Explorer Ventures. Well, I mean, let's talk a little bit about your aviation background first, and then we'll get into some plans for going on some liveaboard trips with Explorer Ventures. You've been a pilot since how long? Since when?
Since 86. I learned to fly right after I got out of college, believe it or not. I actually didn't have any, nobody in my family flew. Nobody knew anything about it as far as I knew. But for whatever reason, I decided that I wanted to become a pilot. So I went to school right after that, or went to flight school right after that, and I got my license about a year and a half later, something along those lines.
Yeah, it took a while, or you just took your time, or is that a typical time frame, at least at that time, to become a pilot?
Well, no, it actually took a little bit longer than planned because, unfortunately, I'm also into motorcycles, and I had a little mishap in the middle of my flight training on motorcycles.
Oh, okay.
So, you know. So there was some recuperation time in that. Luckily, it wasn't from an airplane crash, but it was from a motorcycle crash.
Yeah, well, it slow you down regardless. Either one would. But yeah, I don't want to have any slowdowns like that. They're telling me that I should be able to, even an idiot like me, should be able to learn to fly in about 6 months. I might be able to have my pilot's license in about 6 months. 4 to 6, so they're definitely taking the long side.
Assuming that logic and reason doesn't leap in and say, clearly this is a mistake.
Well, the whole point of this new show, Clay, is to prove that if I can do it, anyone can. To prove that now, because they got GPS things, and I mean, you really, other than taking off and landing, the middle part is all almost like autopilot type stuff. You got to be able to read, you know, numbers and things like that. But they've really made these things fairly easy to operate. I mean, you got to still know what you're doing. But, you know, they figured if we can teach Greg to do it, it's kind of like how the space program started with monkeys. You know,
yeah.
You hear what I'm saying?
What was your reaction when you decided you wanted to become a dive instructor? Was it sort of similar?
You know what? That pretty much is how they looked at me then, too. And that's how I became a diver. Yeah, like, hey, let's teach Greg how to dive, and then he can talk about it on the radio. If he can do it, anyone can. Yeah, I guess it was the same kind of philosophy. And I've survived all these years doing that, so I guess I got that much going for me. I'm really looking forward to it. But, for me personally, it really has become an issue of necessity. So I can get to some more of these dive places that we go to. Maybe if we're going to, like, board the Turks and Caicos boat there, the liveaboard boat. Maybe I'll be able to fly a plane there. That's a great place to fly into Provo, isn't it? You've done that many times out of necessity as well, now that you have to run the company, I guess, right?
Yeah, exactly. When we had a boat based in the Bahamas in Great Exuma, and then another one, the Turks and Caicos Explorer 2 is based in Provo, and then Caribbean Explorer 2 out in the northeastern Caribbean, and I could visit them all in an easy week. I could visit them all in a long day if I needed to, and deliver parts, supplies, shuttle people back and forth in what one of my captains affectionately calls my flying shoebox.
Yeah.
It's a great way to get around, and it's really you think it's a much bigger deal flying internationally than it actually is. You can really. You know what it's like flying from island to island in the Caribbean. It can be a logistical nightmare depending on where you're going.
Right.
You know, you might be able to look across 30 miles of water and see where you're going to go and not get there till, 10 hours later after you have to fly back to, San Juan or Miami or whatever the case might be.
Right, right.
So,
it's frustrating. But you got your own plane, you can just go and hop up in there, and 20 minutes later you're down on the other island. It's just a little hop, skip, and a jump when you're bouncing around the Bahamas.
Somehow, Greg, I think you'll still lose your luggage. I don't know how.
No, never. Not going to happen. You do got to work on this little weight issues that you have with these planes. Like, what kind of plane do you have there, Clay, by the way, that you have right now?
It's a 1967 Cherokee 235, which is a basically a low-wing single-engine airplane with, you know, with a
powered by bicycles.
No.
Yeah, it's actually basically a big engine and a small airframe. So, so if you ever get a chance to fly in it, you'll understand what the term small airplane really means.
Okay, all right. Well, but it gets you there, and I mean, 1967, you say?
Yep, it's a 1967. I've had it since 1999, and I've got about I think 1,600 or 1,700 hours in it by now.
Wow! But and how fast will that puppy fly?
It'll go about 130 knots or 155 miles an hour.
All right, well, that'll get you there faster, and we're going to talk about places where you can take a plane like that or a regular carrier on some of their to some of their liveaboard boats next. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExploreVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
You suck. You have to survive when you're scuba diving 30 feet underwater. The next time you dive, suck air through Oceanic's new Delta 4 regulator with dry valve technology. DVT eliminates moisture, corrosion, and hose deterioration. The Delta 4 also features an FDX10 balanced diaphragm for years of hassle-free diving. So admit it, you suck. And you should be sucking on a Delta 4 by Oceanic.
She is home to the oldest protected rainforest in the Western Hemisphere, the largest brain coral in the world, and she's considered the true jewel of the Caribbean Sea. Her sparkle will live in your memory long after you have left her shores. Tobago is her name, and she is now calling for you. Pristine coral reefs teeming with rich marine life are just the beginning. Find out why this is so in Tobago by going to visittobago.gov.tt. That's visittobago.gov.tt.
This is Dr. Samuel H. Gruber, the Shark Doc. You are listening to Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving and to political intrigue.
Everybody lay low in Bimini or be nothing new.
Oh, yeah. You know, Sonny wasn't there on the island in Bimini last week.
I recall.
But his shark lab still operating and doing their thing there on the south side of
still of turning
the
sharks over and putting them into comas?
They might. I don't know what they're doing these days. Actually, the shark site that we went and did that dive in Bimini was a place where the shark lab used to do some of their research, I guess. So it is a popular shark diving site there in Bimini. All right, so Clay from Explorer Ventures is on the line with me. He is a private pilot. As well as the big kahuna at Explorer Ventures and runs these dive operations or liveaboards all around the world. And we're talking a little shop because, you told me once, Clay, that, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but
tell me once, shame on me. Tell me twice, shame on you.
He made a comment to me. He goes, you know, when I told him about this airplane show that we're starting, he says, you know, Greg, the diving thing is kind of my day job. Flying's what I really like to do. Hey, you really are passionate about flying, right?
Clay, I love it. I mean, there's a, you know, I've
I've, you know, certainly had the opportunity to dive all over the place for the last 25 years since I started Explorer Ventures. But when I've got some time off, there's very little I like to do. Well, horses maybe, but very little I like to do other than fly. So.
Well, I mean, you're combining the best of both worlds when you fly to your liveaboards and hop on the boat for a few weeks or a few days of diving. I mean, you might as well enjoy the trip there as well as the time you're on the, you know, on the boats and diving as well. I think you got it mapped out pretty well.
You know, yeah, it works pretty well. You know, I gotta admit, by the time I fly a small plane from Wyoming to Florida and out into the Caribbean and back, I'm done with flying for about a week or so.
Well, I could see it could get a little monotonous, I guess, after a while. Jimmy, bubble boy.
Yeah, Greg. You know, I bet he likes to fly so much. He's probably got a nickname, something like Clay Pigeon. Oh, sorry. Bill was busy. I had to throw that
in. Yeah, you know, he would have smacked you if he was here in the studio.
I know. I could feel it.
But I don't know. Well, yeah, I got to come. Is there a call sign that I'm going to need as a pilot when I start doing this for real, Clay?
Wrong way, Corrigan.
Oh, that's an excellent idea. We're going to have to think of one.
Yeah, we'll come up with something. All right. Well, let's talk about some places to go in these planes. Now, whether you're flying on a regular carrier or a private plane or getting there by boat or whatever, you got to have places to go, and that's what you specialize with at Explorer Ventures. I know we're looking at doing, we're coming into humpback whale season in the Dominican Republic, are we not?
Yeah, we are. The Turks and Caicos Explorer 2 will be making the, it's about a 12-hour run or so south from Provo here in just about 2.5 weeks and headed down to Puerto Plata in the Dominican Republic, and we'll be spending the next 11 weeks out on the Silverbank snorkeling with humpbacks, and that's a magical thing to do.
Yeah.
It really is amazing to be sitting out there in the middle of the ocean, moored up to a nice secure mooring and watching humpbacks gallivanting around all over the place.
That is the exact opposite of what my wife and I were doing yesterday at the Animal Kingdom. Because coming up, you guys will be, snorkeling with humpbacks.
Right.
Yeah, we were humping with silverbacks. It's a little different with the gorillas there at the Animal Kingdom.
That was
no.
Way,
enough
way
of your
too
monkey
much
business, Bill.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank God they don't run regular trips like that for the general public. But the whale thing, that's been on my list. And I know a lot of people listening right now would love to have that experience. To see a humpback whale, period, it would be a treat. But there at the Dominican Republic, we're talking like hundreds of whales congregate in this area this time of year, right? I mean, it's
yeah,
crazy,
exactly.
Some of the video I've seen.
Yeah, they migrate through. They start showing up in December, and they start leaving around May or so. And as you said, there's literally hundreds of them there. And they're, you know, wherever you look, you can generally always see one. You know, and they go down and you know, sleep on the bottom for, oh, I don't know, 20 minutes at a time or something like that. And so you motor around in the specialized tenders that Aquatic Adventures has, and you know, try to figure out where they are and quietly slip divers into the water snorkelers into the water.
Yeah, because there's no diving on that trip. Why is there no diving? The bubbles kind of spook them, like in dolphin encounters or what? What was the deal?
Yeah,
there?
That's one reason. I mean, there are regulations against it while the diving the silverback while the humpbacks are there, but it really is less effective than being on snorkel anyway. So
I gotcha. All right, so you got that adventure. There's still a few spots left for this season, I believe, if you call Explorer Ventures now at 1-800-322-3577. But I know it's only a spot or two here and there, I believe. Isn't that right, Clay?
Yeah, we've got, I think there's some space still left, Aquatic Adventures told me yesterday, on the last two trips, to end of March, early April. But beyond that, they're fairly well sold out for the season. There's only three boats that go down and do those trips, and it's only again for 10 or 11 weeks a year. I think we spend the most time there, and the other boats do maybe 2 months total.
Got it.
Very limited availability and very very cool experience to have.
Absolutely. Now, if you're looking past that time frame, what else is on the agenda? You running any other specials we need to alert the Scuba Radio clan to right now?
Oh, definitely. We've got some incredible specials that we'll be announcing on Monday for Caribbean Explorer 2 in the Northeastern Caribbean.
What, Bill?
Clay, come on. You know us. You know we're not going to tell anybody. So don't feel you have to hold off until Monday.
Oh, Bill.
Seriously, there isn't even a business day between now and then. Tell us.
You know the problems that we have. Usually twice a year we announce these specials. We just take certain weeks and we say at this point we're going to be announcing these specials,
right.
And we say the booking window is going to open at a certain time, and we send out a newsletter, put it on Facebook all at the same time, and from that point on, for the next 6 hours, all hell breaks loose.
Yes. So you have to have people manning the phones.
Yeah, exactly. So if I did it on a weekend, I would have so many people gunning for me.
Yep. Your staff would not be happy. You'd have to hop in your plane and fly to some undisclosed location to save your life, probably, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, well,
called Tuesday, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, all you got to do is just go to Explore Ventures, sign up for their newsletter to make sure you're in the know, and if you go to their website on Monday, you might see a little special pop-up there or something like that. Right, Clay? Something like that? Is that how it works?
Or Clay could tell us now.
No, shush.
Clay could tell us
His staff isn't in the office right now, Bill. We can't let him do that. That's not fair
then
to
who's going
to
know? Well, if there's nobody there listening to him tell us, only we would know.
No, if he told us, he'd have to kill us. So we'll wait till Monday.
Well, I mean, he does have a good point. Nobody listens anyway.
That's not what I meant. I meant we wouldn't repeat it.
How about a hint, a clue? But a clue.
Let's just say it's a destination in the ocean.
Ooh.
How about that?
And you definitely should check out
exploreventures.com
and make sure you're on that list and make sure you read your damn email Monday.
Yes. No doubt about it. All right, Clay, I'll let you get back to it. Thanks for checking in and happy flying to you, my friend. We'll have to team up on a flight here pretty soon as well.
Sounds like a plan. I'd enjoy it.
It's kind of drafty here, Clay.
What do you mean? You drafting to the left or right?
It's breezy in here with no clothes on.
Oh, boy. All right. At least we have him in a separate room. All right, more coming up next. Stay close.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
Sometimes I wonder, wouldn't it be nice to be two places at once? There's just not enough of me. And
not enough of Greg to spread around.
That's right. And we were invited to go down to Key West for New Year's Eve as well, after we had already planned our events in the Bahamas, because a new dive shop opened up down there in Key West, Seaduction Dive Center, with Mike Ainge. I know him from many years doing scuba radio. He bought a dive shop down there in Key West, and we couldn't go there for a broadcast, so we sent some representatives on our behalf, which was Mermaid Lacey and Mermaid Sarah, who actually live down in the Keys, and Lacey is on the line with us right now. Lacey, how are you?
Good. How you doing, Greg?
Happy New Year to you. Did you have a good time there in Key West?
It was a lot of fun. You know, I was just only disappointed that we didn't get to spend more time there.
Yes. Well, it was New Year's Day. They actually opened up their dive shop, had a little grand opening celebration on New Year's Day. Everyone came into the dive center probably a little hungover. Figure what better time to open up a dive shop when you can hardly move and can just kind of come
like
in there.
People were moving a little slow.
Yeah, they were moving a little slow, but they came in there to take a picture or two of you and Sarah. Representing Scuba Radio as mermaids, right?
Yes, it was a lot of fun. We were sitting out there in the parking lot with the cookout with everybody, and got a lot of interesting looks from people coming by in their cars and a lot of people that came in to take pictures.
You even got interesting looks in Key Weird. That is shocking in its own right there. But it's a new dive shop, Seaduction Dive Center. They got a fully stocked store, I'm guessing, or what did you see while you were down there, Lacey?
Well, you know, they're still in the process of getting everything together because it is a new business, but the inside of the shop look great. They have a lot of really great equipment, and they have their boats stocked right up behind their shop, and they've got a couple of really nice-looking boats.
Nice. Yeah, I mean...
And their crew. I got to meet the crew. They were great.
Good crew, good folks. Mike Ainge is a guy I know. He's talking about doing a lot of technical stuff down there as well, so that I think it'll be a new thing for Key West as far as diving.
I believe that is the first dive center report we've ever gotten which talked about the boats more than the appearance of the women employees.
Well, it's only because she was
nicely
doing
done, Lacey.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
I do like the water.
Oh, water and fish. If you pay half as much attention to me as you do those fish, I'd be the happiest wife in Flatbush.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master, Bill the Producer, Jimmy the Bubble Boy in the studio today. And our new broadcast facility, by the way. Still working out a few little burps in the system, but it's coming together nicely as we are new and improved for 2012. All right, so this week on TV, Brian Williams has his show, Rock Center. Have you seen this? It started a few months ago.
Seen it. It's got Tina Fey on it, and
that's 30 Rock.
It's not the same. Not the same show. Are you
sure? I'm positive.
Pretty sure I saw Brian Williams on it at least once.
It is Brian Williams. He shows up there. That guy's pretty funny. I got to give Brian Williams his props. He's probably the funniest
giant-headed man on earth. He's got a big head.
Really?
That man's got a big head. I don't know how he doesn't topple over. If
really?
We knew anyone who ever saw him in person, anyone who's ever seen Brian Williams in person, call into this show.
He's
right
a human
now.
Bobblehead, is what you're
that's
saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Now, that's what I say about O.J. Simpson, because I've seen O.J., and that is abnormal. That is something
he's got
wrong
those
with
big
that.
Hands.
He's like walking around with a giant space helmet on for a
yes.
For
if
a
the
head.
Hat does not fit, you can't fit him into a prison cell.
Right.
Pretty
but,
sure
you're saying Brian Williams is after that same mold.
Huh? That's what I'm saying, and I challenge you to find one person on this planet who has seen him in person in the last I don't know week.
Yeah.
If you can find me anywhere on this planet one person who's seen him within the last week, they will absolutely corroborate my story. There's no question about it.
Well, okay, Brian Williams may have an. Abnormally large head.
He has a mega melon.
He is a neat guy. He's an awesome guy. He has
got a
great
good brain inside of it.
Maybe.
And
maybe
he is
that's
funny.
It.
And
he is very funny. And you know, obviously he does some good work too, because this week they had a segment on this show, Rock Center, that he hosts about lobster divers. And our buddy Eric Douglas was actually featured prominently on this segment about these lobster divers in Honduras, which we've talked about on Scuba Radio before. Eric is on the line right now. Happy New Year to you, my friend. How are you?
Happy New Year to you, Greg. Good to hear from you.
And for the record, Eric has a normally sized head. Let's just get that out in the open right from the beginning. His head is just normal looking to me.
I appreciate that.
So
clearly you have never accidentally put on his hat.
Yeah, so... normal size head Eric is featured prominently on this segment because you've been covering these lobster divers in Honduras, right, Eric? For what? The last couple of years almost, hasn't it? At least?
About 2 years since the first time I went down there to visit with the divers and see what was going on.
Yeah, and you went down there, and basically what was happening is these Honduras divers really weren't educated or trained properly about diving. They didn't really know the effects of the bends of going down too long, too deep. And because the lobster trade is a big money maker in that part of the world, they would risk everything. They'd risk their health. And in the process, everybody is getting bent and they're having all this illness. And it's just a tragic situation. And how did you get wind of this issue in the beginning?
Sure. This was actually something that I started working on when I was working for Divers Alert Network for Dan.
Right.
A coworker and I ended up going down to Honduras. We'd gotten a tip about a doctor who had just opened a clinic down there, and it turned out to be Dr. Elmer Mejia. And we were curious to see what he was doing, and we wanted to see how we could help. And this is just one of those things that kind of got under my skin. You know, definitely became a project that I wanted to take on.
Right.
And I left over the summer, but it was something that was still very important to me. Dr. Mejia has become a close friend and something I wanted to do to keep up with.
Yeah. Well, I would imagine you went down there with the idea of you knew they needed some help, but and when you saw it, I'm sure it definitely pulled at the heartstrings a little bit and figured out how could we draw some attention to this. And obviously that eventually led to this segment, I guess, from Brian Williams and the Rock Center crew. However, before you even got to that point, the added benefit for you at the time, being you are a dive researcher, you're working with Dan at the time of all this, this doctor down there was treating all these Benz patients on a level that we had never seen before. So the data coming in and how he was treating them was quite substantial, right?
You're absolutely right on that, Greg. You know, I just heard from Dr. Mejia just a couple weeks ago. He gave me his treatment statistics for last year, for 2011. He treated 137 severely injured divers. I mean, every one of them was paralyzed. This is more divers, or severely injured divers, than most hyperbaric or diving doctors treat in a career.
Yeah.
And that was 1 year.
Yeah. Yeah.
The previous year, he treated 117.
Right. Yeah, it's crazy numbers. Because, yeah, if the Caymans or even a popular dive destination, they might get a few treatments a year, and they may not even be major issues. But not
exactly.
Anything close to what they have had down there in Honduras with this situation, huh?
Most of the recreational treatment facilities, like Cayman you mentioned, you know, if they treat 50 divers in a year, that's a pretty good year for them. And
right.
I'm guessing, but I think figure one a week. And most of those are relatively minor pain-only kind of issues. They're not paralysis-type issues. They might see 10 or 12 of those a year. So this doctor, Dr. Mejia, is seeing 10 times as many severely injured divers in the course of a year as any other treatment facility.
Right.
It's just mind-blowing.
Now, these lobster divers in Honduras, I mean, obviously they know there's a risk to what they're doing, and the work that you've done with them and Dr. Mejia has done with them, are they starting to get the idea that they're connecting the dots, or have they always known that this was just the risk of them doing this because there's so much money involved for them, you know, feeding their families? Is it education or money?
I was going to say, ultimately, Greg, they're not making that much money. They're making literally a few hundred dollars a trip. I mean, they're far from getting rich. It's always the case. It's the middlemen, the people who own the boats, that sort of thing, are making the money. But what these guys, they don't really see any other option. To a degree, in their mind, they know that some of their friends get hurt, but they just kind of associate diving with a short life expectancy, and you know, that's just sort of their luck. That's the way they see it.
Hmm.
But literally, when these guys go out diving, they will dive somewhere between 8 and 16 dives a day to 100 feet or more for 12 straight days.
Wow. That's some serious bottom time.
That's some serious bottom time. They will literally do, you know, in a standard dive trip, somewhere between 100 and 140 dives in a 12-day dive trip.
Wow.
Wow. And you would look at most computers on the market today, if they were wearing a computer, it probably said, you're dead like 3 days ago, pretty much,
exactly.
Right? With that type of profile.
There's just no way to fit that on a table. There's no way to fit that on a dive computer. And they just hot swap tanks. They take four tanks out at a time. They dive. They dive until they run out of air. They bolt to the surface, put on another one, and go straight back down.
Yeah, they don't have air pressure gauges. They literally that when the tank's empty, they just can't breathe, and they realize, ooh, I'm out of air. I got to go to the surface and get some more. It's crazy.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah,
it's over the top.
Yeah, and it's all for this quest of lobster, getting cheap lobster tails shipped to the U.S. And the solution is not to eat lobster, thank God. I'm glad you guys pointed that out at the end of the segment. It was like, I can't give up lobster. I love those little tasty boogers way too much. But
yeah,
but
it's
the
not,
but the
not eat lobster. But yeah.
What is the solution, Eric?
You know, Greg, I wish I had the answer to that. I think the answer is going to come down to mandating that they, you know, some law enforcement on their end, that they don't dive like this, that they, you know, that they cut their diving in half, or they put in some other safety precautions.
Yeah, they have to educate the suppliers, the boat captains, and say it's not worth, you know, these people dying over, being maimed over, and kind of like OSHA regulations. It's a human rights issue.
Yeah, but what's going to end up happening, and Eric, you probably see this more firsthand, what will happen is if you tell the boat operators that they can't keep having these guys dive the same profiles, they'll just hire more guys and pay everybody less.
Maybe, but there's another solution or two. We'll talk about it next. Stay close.
Scuba Radio.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact K7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
Here at Scuba Radio, we've been fans of Force Fins for years. With over 12 styles and just about every color imaginable, Force Fins are in a league of their own. Now, they aren't the biggest company out there, just the best. So sometimes Force Fins are hard to find. That's why we've made the whole line of Force Fins available on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Order yourself a pair today, and they'll be delivered right to your door and be ready for your next dive. That's the merchandise page at scubaradio.com.
Bula, that's the greeting you get from the smiling, generous Fijians who welcome you to Fiji. And while Fiji's friendly people, white sand beaches, rainforest, and waterfalls are a huge draw for any traveler, divers in the know consider Fiji the soft coral capital of the world. With direct regular flights from LAX on Air Pacific, it's never been easier to live your Fiji experience. Go to FijiMe.com to book dive packages from backpacker to five-star spa resorts. That's FijiMe.com.
A couple solutions. I wanted to let Eric go because it's, you know, it's a weekend. He has business to do. He has lobster divers to go save in Honduras. And you know, one of the things that you were watching this report on Rock Center about this, the plight of these Honduran divers that are diving for the lobsters to satisfy our need to have lobster on our dinner plates here back in the States. I was like, oh, no, they're going down that road. They're going to tell us to boycott lobster or something. I'm like, oh, my God, I can't do that. The sweet little morsels of lobster tail. Are you kidding me? We can't give that up. They're too good. It tastes too great. And so luckily, no, that isn't the solution. But, and you might think maybe I should do that, you know, like an overfished swordfish species or something. But that's not the case here with the lobster. They're not endangered or anything like that. And if you were to boycott eating lobster, you'd actually end up putting these divers out of work, and they have nothing else they can do right now in Honduras. So it is an education factor for the boaters, the ones that run the boat down there. Bill, you're looking at the biggest trade in Honduras is lobster diving and drugs. So that's their alternative.
The conundrum is, do we work them to death or do we let them not work?
Well, no. They have to be able to. It's an education issue to educate them to know the limits that they have as a diver, so they don't hurt themselves. And the other option they have to catch the lobsters is not by necessarily diving for them, but by using traps. That's what we do mostly in the States, is they use lobster traps. They have that as well. Now, you know, we have lobster divers in the States too, but of course they abide by certain, you know, guidelines, and they're educated on their limits, and so they don't hurt themselves. That's what has to happen in Honduras. They have to set a system in the local government there to encourage that with their vendors. And you know, if anything, like, you know, the suppliers that work with the folks in the States, you know, maybe they, you know, try to encourage them, hey, we don't want lobsters that are caught by, you know, operations that aren't putting these elements in place. They're working on that. They are working on that. But the answer isn't just to boycott a lobster, just not eat it. That doesn't solve the problem at all.
Greg, Bill has this look.
Yeah.
This look. Like
he doesn't believe me.
Here's the thing. The thing is, I think that you're simplifying a very complicated problem.
No, I'm very hungry is what it is.
Priorities.
Here's where the real solution is. If there's a way you could guarantee that if you pay twice as much for the lobster, that the boat owners wouldn't take all that extra money, or the middlemen in between wouldn't take all that extra money, and it actually made its way down to the people diving, then it would be worth paying twice as much for the lobster so that they could have a reasonable life doing half as much work. But that's not going to happen, and you're dealing with a place where the government's not going to regulate it, and the people that are supplying it aren't going to regulate it, so no one's going to regulate it. So the only thing you can do is make these divers realize that if they keep doing it this way, they're going to die, and then they lose their job anyway.
Well, I had this question for both of you, all right, Bill, all right. Greg? Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask this to Eric. I wish I'd have done it when he was here, but what happens to all the guys that are bent, all right? I mean, there's a lot of cases a year. Honduras isn't like the United States. I mean, what do these guys do after they're horribly bent and crippled over? What do they do for a living?
Well, in the story, they go to Dr. Mejia, and he treats them in the chamber. And unfortunately, right after he cures them, they showed some real...
they go back in the water?
Yeah.
They
jump back in the water.
As soon as they're flexible enough,
yeah,
they get back in the water.
And as crazy as that sounds when you watch it, the interesting thing is that they are getting some research from this situation in Honduras that is invaluable to the dive industry.
Like human guinea pigs.
Yeah, it's the truth. I mean, if there is an upside to this...
There's not.
There's some
more
data that's being gathered right now from down there that is pretty interesting, because it is showing that we can do, you know, a lot more than we thought we could in that regard. Like you look at the numbers, and when you put the numbers, like, well, if you dive this long and this deep, you should be bent, is not necessarily the case. They're finding more and more that there's so many other factors based on your physiology and all these other factors that, you know, it makes things interesting, because if anything, it's probably showing that we have a margin of safety built into diving that's even better than we thought, which is good for the general population.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean we need to loosen it up, but it just means that, you know, hey, you know, you could probably do a lot worse.
Well, a lot of people think that diving is trouble. A lot of people that aren't familiar with diving think that diving is very, very dangerous. And those of us who dive, I mean, I don't think it's dangerous.
Well, look, I do it. If we have not proved that it's idiot proof,
we keep making better
diving,
idiots.
Boating, and now we're working on flying.
All right, I got news.
Greg will dive his plane right into the ocean.
Flying is not idiot proof.
What are you saying that this is a bad move?
I don't think there's anything we can do to convince people that you're as much of an idiot as we try on the other shows.
Well, if you listen to the first edition of Just Plain Radio today, Bill.
Yes, and of course I was.
My flight instructors say that when I told him, I said, hey, basically, if I can do it, anybody can do it. He says, well, Greg, they've sent chimpanzees up in space before, so the bar's not really high.
Well, they set them up, but they didn't come back alive, Greg. They hit the ground pretty hard.
That's not true.
Laika.
No, they came back.
The monkeys came back.
Yuri Gagarin didn't come back.
So the bar's not very high. I just got to be smarter than a monkey or a chimpanzee. Is it the same thing?
That's still a pretty high bar for you.
Well, thank you.
I'd get a running start.
Oh, boy.
All right, I'll try. But, yeah, check it out, justplainradio.com. It'll be up there. There'll be links to it from scubaradio.com, awesome. Our new show devoted to the aviation lifestyle. Thank you for joining us this week. It's been fun as always. First edition of 2012 in the can.
It kind of sounds like we're in the can,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, kind of strange, isn't it? All right, well, that'll do it. Till next week, remember, it's always better.
Down where it's wetter.
Good night, everybody.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.